Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome to VFN Radio, and I'm John Ramos filling in for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today in the extra hour is Pat.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
My goodness. Well, if you're just joining us in the extra hour, at the close of the first hour, we were talking about, my goodness, not to worry. I mean, Jesus told us don't worry, right? And, you know, maybe he would have said today, take a chill pill. You know what I'm saying? But don't worry.
Right.
And it's amazing how, you know, you can be attacked like that. Everything is going fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I got faith till the big one. You know, I got faith. And we talked about dead faith versus living faith, you know, last week. You want to make sure that you catch that segment on the highlights at the torch by going to VFNTV.com. But, you know, don't let worry take you down. Don't let worry take you down. You have to have more faith that God's going to be able to take care of you then whatever the situation that you're facing is going to destroy you. Yeah. I mean, if you are a son and a daughter of the king, he says, how much more valuable are you than the birds of the air? I mean, look at the birds. We should look at nature. Creation speaks. We talked about earlier how you've never seen an anorexic bird flying around before.
Not too many,
You've never seen that. They're all nice, plump. They get fed.
Yeah.
You know, and if two sparrows that are sold for a penny, two, if not one of them falls to the ground outside of the will of God. Now, not without God knowing it, outside of his will, he's in control of everything, even the sparrows. How much more his eyes are upon you today?
That's right.
How much more his eyes are upon you as you're seeking him, you're abiding him, and you are making him the Lord of your life. Let me tell you something. God's eyes are upon you. But he tells us in verse 33 of Matthew 6 that to seek first, there's an order to this. And say seek second, right. Not after you've wasted all your energy and all your resources and you've gone to everybody else.
You maxed all your credit cards.
Right. You don't call everybody for help. Right. Oh, then come and seek the kingdom. You know, he didn't say that. No, there is an order. He says, first things first.
Mm-hmm.
Seek me. And, you know, let me tell you something. Well, one of the things that we have to start doing as believers is start scraping some of this useless stuff that's on our plate. You know, we talked about this too last week, that Proverbs 27:10 says that he who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. And maybe it doesn't even come across our mind to think about seeking God first, is because we've put so much stuff on our plate that maybe it's not necessarily bad, but it's clogging up our time. Can you imagine to say, I don't have time to go after God? Like, what in the world are you doing then? Mm-hmm. I'm saying, I think you are doing one too many things. What do you think?
In your flesh, obviously.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think about it. I mean, we can get so caught up with running here and running there, and the kids got it. And you got to be careful of the stuff that you say you got to do. Mm. You know, there's very few things that you got to do.
That's right.
You know, and if you don't know that, trust me, they can be taken away from you so you can realize you ain't got to do them.
That's right.
But it happens so that, you know, your life gets so crowded, so many things. And then before you know it, it's like, well, I would have prayed, but I had to check my email. I was like, what? I was checking something on Facebook first, and then I was going to, and then I got the phone call, and it's like, what? You know, it's a prudent thing. It's a wise thing to make God the first in your life, mm-hmm. even above certain relationships, all relationships, really. There's nothing that should come in between you and God. So the Lord says, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you, given you as well. And the word seek means to inquire, to discover, to reach out, you know, to inquire of the Lord. The word of God said is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search things out. Listen, God wants you to spend time with him.
That's right.
He wants you to read his word. He wants you to meditate on his word. He wants you to quiet yourself down, as Chris was saying, to be still and know that I'm God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to be busy and not know that I'm God, but be still and know.
Right. You know, he also says, Jesus says in Matthew 18:3, he says, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, and which takes me back to what you were talking about earlier, is that, you know, when we look at our children, they don't worry about what they're going to eat. Like you said, you know, the Twinkies and the chips are in the cupboard. You know, they don't worry about their clothes, what they're going to wear. You know, none of the, and that's how we're supposed to be with God.
Exactly.
We're not supposed to worry about these things. We're supposed to be. And he says, if you do not change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to be that dependent upon him.
Absolutely.
You know, worry gets us nowhere, but.
Yeah, one foot in the grave, and the other on a banana peel.
There you go.
It doesn't work. Like I said, I can't testify of anyone that I have personally met or known that said my life has been changed because I've worried about it 20 hours.
That's right.
That's right.
You know. But I have heard. I can testify now in my own life, and I've many others that I've heard that their life has changed when they sought the Lord, when they seeked him first. When they made him the Lord of their life and they took time out. You know, your most precious resource that you have is your time. T-I-M-E. That's the most precious resource you have because you don't know how much you're going to have left. And when you invest that in God. And so, you know, in Luke 10, there's an account about Mary and Martha. If you remember, you know, these were sisters and their brother Lazarus had passed away and Jesus was coming to visit, right?
Right.
And so in Luke 10:38 says that Jesus and his disciples were on their way and he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now that's a good sign. When you open your home to Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now you're starting off on the right foot.
Okay?
Right. So he opened their home to Jesus, right? I recommend that, by the way. I recommend that. First, welcome him in your heart, though. Then you can welcome him in your home. And Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say and what he said. And see, that's a good move for Martha. You know, Mary, rather. She sat at his feet and she listened. She listened. You know, one thing about praying, I want to encourage you that, you know, God already knows what you need. We need to maybe not spend as much time talking and praying to the Lord, trying to inform him of what we need.
Right.
But maybe we should spend more time at his feet listening to what he wants to tell us.
Exactly.
Right? I always try to say that if you're in the presence of someone that is of authority and you know, there's great men and women out there that we know. You want to spend less time talking and more time listening. You know what I'm saying? they can drop a nugget in for you that could really help you out, right?
Right.
Well, verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted. Listen to this. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. They just had to be made.
Had to be.
Can you imagine? Jesus is here. You better clean up that house. We cook something for him. We got to clean these dishes, set the table. Jesus is coming to our home. Yeah, come on now. And she was working it. I mean, she was cleaning up, making sure that everything they had to be made.
Yep.
Had to be made. She came to him and asked, I mean, right up to Jesus, said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? I'm washing dishes, scrubbing floors, cooking this meat. And he says, she says, tell her to help me. Exclamation point. She was upset.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? She was peeved, if you will. She was upset. I'm doing all this work.
Mm-hmm.
All this have to stuff. And the Lord says twice, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed.
Mm.
Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Can you say rut-row? He said, Martha, Martha dear, come here, come here. Let me talk to you.
Right.
Put the hand towel down, please. Put the plate down. Don't worry about that mess right here. Don't worry about that. Come here. Your sister is at my feet. And she has chosen the right thing.
Mm.
Only, he says, you're worried about a lot of stuff. Isn't it amazing that in our minds we could think that the things that we have to worry about are so legitimate?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in her eyes, she was convinced this was important.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
She was yelling at Jesus. tell Mary to get up off her feet and close her Bible and come over here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Can you imagine? Close your Bible, come here, no. And help me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, no. And it's like, in her mind, she thought she had legitimate concerns and issues to address. And the Lord told her, says, listen, you're worried and upset about many things. Mm. But only one thing is needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, the Lord's speaking to us today and encouraging us and saying, listen, there's only one thing that you need in your life. Let me tell you something. It ain't about a job. It's not about that home. You know, if you're not living in that place, guess what? You'll live somewhere else.
That's right.
You know what I mean? If you're not working at that job, guess what? You'll work at another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is with you. You know, when you've made him the Lord of your life, he's with you. He walks with you. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right.
You know, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Right?
That's right.
You know? He is an ever-present help, the Word of God says, in the time of trouble. Right? So if God is near you, with you, in you, and for you, hello, what is the problem?
Exactly.
And sometimes we have to remind ourselves. You've got to slow it down, turn the dial back, and say, you know what? Has it been working for you? Mm. Has this been working for me? I'm going to sit at his feet. I'm going to open my Bible up. I'm going to have my little worship on. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to close the door and say, for right now, I'm going to be about the one thing. I'm going to be about seeking God, seeking his face. And I don't want to give God a litany. I don't want to just start bubbling out my worries and my concerns. And Lord, don't you know? Because Martha tried that. She said, Lord, I got stuff to do.
That's right.
He didn't even address it. So what you need to do is be in my presence. Now we have to have more faith that God loves us, that he's leading us, that he's guiding us. And that's the whole thing when you were talking about earlier, Pat. So well, God started in the spirit. Galatians says, are you trying to fulfill in your flesh?
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the main reasons we begin to worry is because we picked up something in our own flesh that God told us, what are you doing? I didn't tell you to do that.
That's right.
I didn't, who said this rested on you? Who said that, oh okay, this whole situation will rest on your back now?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that we have picked up, you know, responsibilities that are not our own. We've picked up burdens that are not meant for us to carry. And that, listen, the Lord is the burden bearer. He says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
If the Lord's burden is light, then what burden are you carrying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What burden are you carrying if the Lord's burden is light? And he's already said, take my yoke upon you. Things only become crushing and difficult when we left the ways of God. But I want to encourage you today, and we're here to encourage you to say, listen, you can journey back. You can say, you know, I've heard this today and said, you know what? That's my problem. That's my issue here. I've been wringing my hands and chomping at my teeth and getting all this lack of sleep for something that, you know what? I need to put this back in the Lord's hands. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that little commercial that says, I'm not in my enemy's hands. I'm not in my own hands. I'm in the Father's hands. And with that, I can sleep at night.
That's good.
You know, you're not in your enemy's hands. You're not even in your own. You couldn't save yourself. Mm-mm. And you're trying to save who? Mm-hmm. You needed a savior, right? God spoke to you and saved you. And so do the one thing. He said, Martha, 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 you're upset and worried about many things. But only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. Mm-hmm. Are you going to keep fretting and worrying about your situation, or are you going to choose the better thing, and that's to be in the Lord's presence? Because remember, when you're in the Lord's presence, it will not be taken from you. There's a lot of things that can be taken from you, but what can't be taken from you is a revelation, that one word from God.
That's right.
Be at his feet. Be still and know that he is God. We'll be right back. Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on VFN Radio today. Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now, VFN Radio, that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work that's even come to pass, and, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness, I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. Mm-hmm. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. Oh, yeah. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just,
isn't it amazing? So that you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering. Goodness. And that's what VFN is about.
Yeah.
You know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class. I got to take my algebra class.
You
know, it's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed, you know? And so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go, the next thing you go like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's exactly. So awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to, go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And if you're joining us here in the extra hour, we're just talking about how we are instructed in the Word of God not to worry, but to be about the one thing, which is being at Jesus' feet and spending time with Him. And I want to encourage you, listen, God is for you. He is for you. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. He just wants us to seek Him.
That's right.
And He will lead us out, right?
That's right.
Spend time on His Word, because His Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's right. God gives us every step that we need to take when we're listening and trusting in Him. And so this brings us actually to the wisdom moment today that we want to share with you. And this was previously recorded, but this is just so powerful and kind of fits exactly what we've been talking about, that victory and shield. God's our victory, our shield, our guard, and our protections. Proverbs 2, 7 through 8. And God holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk as blameless. For He, God, guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. I want you to listen up and be encouraged. The Lord has you in mind. Listen up.
We're going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. It reads, He, which is God, holds victory. Think about it. He, God, holds victory in store for the upright. Think about that. Mm. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. Mm. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that. First of all, we have to look at this, that God is in control. He's holding all this together. I mean, and the first thing you can see in this word of wisdom, this moment of wisdom, is that God is in control. God is in control. Think about it. He is totally in control. And He also lets us know in this first part that He holds victory in store for you, for the upright, that doing what's right before God is never in vain.
Mm-mm.
It's not in vain. The devil's going to tell you it's in vain. People right. who love the devil mm-hmm. are going to tell you, in his ways, are going to tell you it's in vain. But God's going to tell you it's never in vain. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 15:58, maybe, he says that nothing you do for the Lord is in vain. Not one mm-hmm. single thing.
That's right.
I mean, I think it's Hebrews 6:10 that says, God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown Him as you help His people and you continue to help them. He'll mm-hmm. never mm-hmm. even forget it. You have to understand, first of all, God is in control, and doing what's right is not in vain. But think about it. Not even a sparrow, He's so in control, that not even a sparrow, a bird, falls from the sky without His permission. God is in control. What those who are held captive by the adversary do because of evil intentions in their heart, God will turn around for your good. If you love Him and are called according to His purpose. You have to understand that God holds victory in the palm of His hand. Think about it. And it's for you. If you live an upright life, you know what I'm saying? You just say, you know, I'm gonna repent, and I'm gonna walk with God like Josiah did, and say, yeah, I'm gonna go with God. Imagine this. Imagine victory being like a baseball.
And it's the name of this baseball is Victory. And imagine God is holding this baseball in the palm of his hand. And he gives you this ball as you walk in love and obedience to him. Mm-hmm. Think about it, which means doing what's right in his eyes. Mm-hmm. In view of his mercy and his grace. And he says, here's the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, he holds victory in his hand. He will give you, if you're looking for victory, read about David's life over and over again. Read about Israel over and mm-hmm. over again. Look at your headlines today over and over again. God's people are always outnumbered, so God can show himself mighty. Listen, it ain't over till God says it's over. But if you don't understand he's the one that holds victory, you're going to wear yourself out. He gives victory. He holds victory for the upright. Think about it. Just like he could give you a baseball from his hand to your hand, he can give you victory if you understand this. And then he tells us that God is a shield for those who walk blameless. I got to be honest with you. Personally, when I began to walk with the Lord in my early years, I struggled with the word blameless. Mm. I thought if every man has sinned and fallen short, who can be blameless?
Right.
I mean, think about it. Who can be blameless? You know, I thought if Paul described in Romans chapter 17, even his good plans did not work out good because his sinful nature would wrestle against him. And he had to turn to the cross of Christ and Jesus to be able to get him out of it. How could he say he was blameless? But then the Lord showed me King David's life and all of his mistakes, but how David did a few very important things continually that kept him blameless before the Lord, even though he made mistakes.
Right.
What did he do? He loved God. He abided with the Lord. He inquired of God. David sought to walk in obedience to God and lead other people to do the very same things, as he stated when he was confronted himself by a prophet of God saying, you know, you're an adultery and you're a murderer and you did all this kind of stuff. And he said, if you'll restore to me the joy of my salvation, if you'll bring me back to the place I was before I made this mistake, not only will I walk rightly before you, but I'll actually go out and tell other people. See, it wasn't a personal encounter. You know, blameless is when you understand it's not about you, and God will restore you, but restore you for you and your relationship with him, and so that you can tell others about him.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking blameless. And though he constantly battled, he turned to God in every victory, and he gave God credit for every victory. David publicly acknowledged God. It wasn't no secret thing. I just think religion's a secret thing. Well, that's what Satan thinks.
Mm. Right.
You know, God just shouted from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. You know, remember the attorney, he's like, do I have to put God on my arm? It's like, yeah, put God on your arm. Basically, David wasn't perfect, but he kept his relationship right with God, his books balanced, I guess you would say. He kept his books balanced before God by being willing to be confronted personally about himself and being willing to be confronted by others and say, you know what, if I need to make it right, I'll make it right.
That's right.
And after he'd done all this, David was declared, as you read in the book of Psalms, as a blameless man, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That blameless, when we go to heaven, we can say, because of Romans, think about Romans 3, 20, 21 through 26 talks about this very, very thing. But in Psalms, David was declared blameless.
Right.
So it means you can make mistakes, you can love God, but you can actually seek forgiveness for your sin, restoration, and quit living life for yourself. And live for God and others. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. That was David. And the next part, he says, in this proverb, the wisdom moment for today, he says, God guards the course of the just. Think about it. I mean, the very track that you're taking, the very journey that you're on, God's guarding it.
Wow.
He's guarding it. I mean, he's guarding that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
You know, and it's effective protection if you believe it's protective. Protection. What I mean is this, that your faith is your shield. If you walk around doubtful, you know, God's not protecting your track. He's not protecting your course because you don't believe that he can. Your faith is a shield that protects you from every fiery dart of the devil. It extinguishes, it destroys it. That is your course. Your faith in what I'm telling you, you're just confident. This is your wisdom. And no matter what's going to happen in this life, that God will protect your course. And this is so important. Because so many people around that are, you know, doubtful, you know, that this is right, and in their life, understanding that, you know, how can God, you know, protect our course? Well, you think about it, because they're thinking, like, who's just? You know, I already dealt with the blameless situation, but the question is who's just? You know, who is just? How can I be just? I mean, think of all the mistakes and the things that had happened and that was going on. And but we can say we're just. You know why we can say we're just?
Right.
Because of what God did.
Mm-hmm.
He is a just God, and he's the one that justifies.
Right.
I mean, Romans 13:21-26, he tells us, he says, but now righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testified. Mm-hmm. This righteousness from God comes through faith. That's that confidence, that shield. Your course is protected because you have confidence in this justification.
Mm-hmm.
This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's the faith. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen mm-hmm. short of the glory of God and are justified
all right.
freely. There's a justification freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. God presented him, Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement,
mm-hmm.
which means paying for our sins through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. And because he is forbearance, and because in his forbearance, he had left sin committed unpunished beforehand. Up mm-hmm. until that point, prior to Jesus on the cross, it was totally unpunished. It was just covered.
Right.
And he did it for this very reason. He did it to demonstrate that he is just.
Right.
At the present time, the exact moment, so as to be one who is just and the one who justifies us through Jesus Christ. Listen, you can know that God is protecting your course when you are abiding with Jesus Christ, when you're hanging out with God, you know,
right.
and your faith is in his ability to protect you and your trust in the finished work of the cross. And he goes on to say this, he, God, you know, this is the other part of the proverb. He, God, protects the way of the faithful ones. Remain faithful to God.
Yeah.
Abide with the Lord. Just as King David did, and just as so many men and women have, abide with God. If you don't know how to abide with him, go to iabide.org and get a simple plan to be able to do that. Request your plan for free today. Don't be a person who just hears what God has to say but doesn't do it. Don't be a person who does and does religious works and good works, but you fail to hear God and to follow God. Be faithful to God. Abide with him. I mean, abiding is very simple. Spend time with God. Read his word, which is the Bible, mm-hmm. hide his word in your heart, which means memorization, so that you can walk a life that does not constantly going into sin. Mm-hmm. Talk with God, which is praying, listening to God, which is relationship, and then doing what he tells you or impresses on you to do. It's very simple. It's what David did. It's what God loved about David. That's why God protected him. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
What, think about this awesome God that we hear in this wisdom moment for today is Proverbs 2:7-8. God holds victory in store. God holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. Be right back.
Wow, that's so powerful. That's so powerful, because we can rest. We can rest comfortably knowing that God's got me. God's got you.
That's right.
He has victory in store for us. He is our shield. He's the one that's guarding us, and he that is the one that protects us.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. You have a revelation like that, you can sleep at night.
That's right.
You know, and you can sleep at night.
Very well.
You know, I like to say that, you know, I may not know what tomorrow holds. You know what I'm saying? Life has so much uncertainties. Mm-hmm. But because I know the one who holds tomorrow, I sleep really, really, really well, because you know, I'm his friend.
Yeah.
You know, and you can be his friend. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, and you've been turned on to VFN Radio and you're listening and you're being encouraged and you're saying, you know, maybe all this worries because I don't have God in my life. I have to been taking care of myself. I have to do everything on my own. And I don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, you can. You know, there is a big difference. There's a big difference of knowing of and about Jesus and knowing little stories in the Bible, being familiar with the ways of Christ,
mm-hmm.
than actually knowing him. And there's many people today that are familiar with God, but they don't know God. And let me tell you something. You got to know him. It's not enough to know about him. You have to know him. He has to be your own personal Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you today, if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you can make him the Lord of your life. Listen, worry, stress, anxiety, and fear, and all that type of stuff, that's not of God.
That's right.
It's not of God. And there's nothing like sin in our life, unconfessed sin, unrepented sin, that causes us to go further down the spiral, if you will, and it would become gloom and despair. Mm-hmm. Jesus came to die, and he died to rescue you from that. It's the whole purpose, is to save you from sin, hell, and the grave, and so that you can have, you know, an abundant life with him, not just, you know, in the age to come, but right now. This is not just about getting a ticket so you can go to heaven. Right. This is about living a life with Jesus today. You can accept him as your Lord and Savior today. We'd love to hear about it. In fact, we put a couple of our stories online for you. We didn't tell everything, but we sure shared some of our life, you know, what was our life before. What was our life when, you know, our transition that we realized we need Jesus, and what our life has been after since we've made him Lord. You can find that at meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. Well, Pat, you know, I want to share with you and Chris, you know, we're still in the middle of flu season. We're still in the middle of flu season, and I didn't realize this, but you know that this season lasts up until April.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah, I didn't realize that. I just thought it kind of was a winter thing. But
yeah, I did too.
It lasts until April. You know, they're still encouraging people to get, you know, vaccinated in the flu shot. Mm-hmm. It does take about 2 weeks before it kicks in. But, you know, there's other things that you can do. Some people don't like taking a flu shot. There's other things that you can do. And CBN shares some tips. We want to pass those tips along to you today so that you can be prepared, you and your family. Of course, the number one thing that you can do from spreading the flu and these germs is, of course, to what?
Wash your hands.
Now, believe it or not, there is a method to the madness. There is a way to wash your hands, okay? It works, but if you do it right. And the way they're saying to do it right is you got to lather up there. You got to lather up there a good amount of soap. You can't just a little squirt it. You put a healthy dab in there. Get some good lather.
Yeah.
And you know, wash your hands. You know, so move your hands around there for at least 20 seconds. And they say that's the equivalent of singing happy birthday twice. Haven't tried that, but that's what they say. But
all right.
It's not the quick one. You know, my son say they wash their hands. And I said, did you use soap? What was that? Did you just turn the water on? Without, you know, you got to dry your hands afterwards. You know, you wash them thoroughly. And, you know, use warm water. Use warm water. You got to rinse your hands really good. Sometimes people use the hand sanitizers. You know, you want to use hand sanitizer that has 60% alcohol. And you want to rub your hands till they're dry. Mm. You know, but it's always better to wash your hands whenever you can. You know, the rubbing alcohol, the hand sanitizers are not kind of, you know, they're not the highest thing that you could do.
Right.
Also, you know, the flu virus also lives on surfaces, they're reporting, for up to 2 days.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine, you know, you've got your cell phone that you're picking up all the time, and then you're going to eat finger food and chips and that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, your door handles, knobs, your refrigerator, you know, handle, the coffee, you know, pot. You want to go ahead and just disinfect those areas and spray as much as you can and, you know, do those things to kind of disinfect all the items that everyone touches in the home. Another thing that they're reporting you can do is you need to get at least 8 hours of sleep.
How many?
8 hours. Good luck with that. I don't get 8 hours. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
yeah, I know. But eight hours helps your immune system. Of course, drink lots of waters and eat nutritious foods and take supplements like fish oil, vitamin C, D, and zinc. How about that?
All right.
Take that. But the 8 hours, I'm telling you, that's your body needs time to rest. It really, really does. And I've gotten in trouble there quite a bit on that, and I need to make sure I rest my body. One thing that I was really surprised to find out on here is that you can take a natural antibiotic. Never tried this before, but again, they're reporting that you can try coconut oil. Yep, coconut oil. I see that mind spinning there.
Well, no, I've heard there's a lot of things that coconut oil is good for.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard it helps with Alzheimer's, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It was on CBN, actually.
I had never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. They say take one tablespoon in the morning and another at night. And they're saying that it tends to keep bacteria down so that if you are assaulted with the virus, your immune system can concentrate on the virus. And so it doesn't have to concentrate on 27 other, you know, bacteria that day. It can just focus. They also encourage not to eat lots of sugar and trans fat because it could cause inflammation, mm-hmm. which weakens your immune system. So these are just little tips, little things that you can take, you know, and some wisdom that you can apply. And you want to stay healthy, especially if you're gathered together as a church. You want to show love for each other by taking these necessary steps to not just so that you won't get sick, but so that you won't cause someone else that you love in your family or other believers in your fellowship to get sick. So I want to encourage you, wash, and disinfect those areas so we definitely get out of April. And don't forget to pray. We'll be right back.
You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others, and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN-TV and VFN Radio is through the social networking community. Over 1 billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know, that when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today, go to vfntv.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person in the seat. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting 5 people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're setting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to vfntv.com and click on giving. vfntv.com and click on giving. Now, was that the hardware store?
Wait a second.
Wait. What?
Back up. Don't even go any further. What was that?
Say that again.
You were where?
You were what? You were lost?
What?
I was searching hardware on Amazon.
Exactly.
No, it was. I actually was at the hardware store. And
were you lost? Looking for the barber?
This has to be interesting. He wanted excitement, right?
Yeah. Well, you know.
This has to be interesting.
Well, you know, it was. They have like tools and things there and stuff. And I'm walking around. Looking at, they have like aisles and numbers and, you know, things that I've never been to. Anyway, I just stand there somewhere in an aisle and call the store. Hey, I'm looking for screws. Where are you? Hello. Anybody here? And I'm having to find, actually, Pat and I went to the store sometime back, this hardware store. I needed a drill. I got to have a drill. And we come out, and he comes out, and he's the one that bought a drill.
I didn't get a drill.
And if you don't have a teenage son, you don't understand, but you will one day. Just plan in your future to get new tools.
Yeah, right.
And, that old thing? He's like, yes, that old thing. And so we walked out, and he came out with a real nice tool, it's drill and all that. But I realized later on, when I had to, I mean, that's a shame. There was a day that you actually screwed a screw with the screwdriver.
With your hand.
you know, labor.
I thought about it. I pondered that before this, and I thought, I'm going to go get that drill. And I didn't know. There's two things that Pat introduced to me
Well, other things we're not going to talk about. But yeah, the two things is totally
a family program.
It's frozen. Oh, well, frozen food. I had no idea that you could actually, everything's frozen.
Frozen. Everything.
It don't matter what it is. I mean, I think his Bible
chicken
comes out of the freezer.
Pie, anything. Just
before he
in
abides
there.
In the morning, I think his Bible comes out of the freezer and puts it in the microwave.
It's defrosting.
I warm it up.
And the other thing was that everything, no matter what it is, if it runs on electricity, it also will run on a battery. I'm serious. Prior to God bringing us together, that when we were in the plastic fabrication business, he was a master fabricator, and I hired him to come work for me, and he organized all the inventory.
Scrap. Okay,
until you had your own company. And I just didn't know it. And he you have these drills, and you put a battery pack on. I mean, today they're commonplace, but back then, it was amazing. I mean, the battery pack was like a 15-pound battery. You know, you put a backpack or something in the car to come around. No, but it was amazing. So you can get a battery for everything. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like taking a cord and plugging it into a receptacle to know that you don't have to go, I can't believe this battery's not charged up.
Yeah, right.
How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, he has not been introduced to the extension cord yet. So everything's on batteries. I mean, as a matter of fact, you should have a battery car. You and President Obama, you know, he has a new car industry now, runs on what are the batteries? Everready's or something? The Everready car?
I don't know, but, you know, he's very, I think that'll fit you, Pat.
Mm. I can see him stuck on the road somewhere. Oh, this battery wasn't charged up.
That'd be my
How
luck.
How would that limousine move? That's what I want to know with that battery. I mean, you don't need a super duper battery for that.
He's so far back from the motor, he probably can't even hear it run, so he's probably thinking about it.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And yes, you heard correctly. That was Greg's adventure in a hardware store.
Totally lost. Totally lost.
Oh, my goodness. It's as lost as I would be in there.
I know, that's right.
That's why I like Home Depot a little bit better. They got pictures, and they got stuff. And you can tell some of the other places are not like that, you know?
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness. I wish I could have been there on that trip.
we walk in there. And he's, I need a drill. I'm like, what do you need a drill for? I forgot what it was for. And then I end up walking out with a drill. I let him borrow it.
Oh,
that was funny.
Well, he talked about something about, you know, there was a time that you didn't have a drill. Uh-huh. And you actually, you know, screwed the thing in with your hand, you know, with the fill up. You twisted the screw or the nut.
Yeah, those were awful days.
Yeah, well, you did it with your hand and muscles. And I think about all the people that work so hard, man. They work so hard in our nation to build it the way they have. And
that's right.
And listen to that commercial. We're gonna play a commercial here for you. And we're gonna apologize for the sound in advance because it's not the best quality of sound. But we really want you to listen to the words. This is Paul Harvey, and Pat's a little bit more familiar with Paul Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
And he kind of does this little talk about the farmer. And,
yeah.
And tell us about Paul. Who's Paul Harvey?
Yeah, he was a conservative radio host. He's been around for years and years and years. And he passed away, I think, back in 2009. But prior to that, I got introduced to him through my grandmother. She would listen to him on the radio all the time.
Uh-huh.
And he'd go through these long stories, and they were really, you know, just intriguing. And
right.
Then his famous line was, now let's hear the rest of the story. So he just like this cliffhanger, you know, you talk about this person, you know, and
yeah.
All these things that they did or whatever. And then you find out who it actually was. You're just like blown away. Like, no, get out. Really? You know, so it was just, he's famous for that. You probably search him online. I'm sure you could probably listen to tons of his stories. But yeah, they were powerful.
Wow. Well, he has a great voice, and this is actually a Rams commercial, right?
Yeah. Ram car commercial. Yeah.
Okay. Truck commercial. I want you to listen up and listen to what he has to say about the American farmer. Listen up.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painting from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
Wow. How powerful is that?
Wow. That was amazing.
How powerful is that? We're going to make this available for you to watch on the torch. It's actually a commercial.
Yeah.
And the pictures are just so moving as well.
Oh, yeah.
But you think about, you know, America is the breadbasket to the world. You think about the corn and you think about all the stuff that we grow and all the fruits and vegetables. I mean, even in New Jersey, they call this place a garden state. I mean, it's just fruits galore.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to be worked. You know, someone had to work it. The milk that we just poured in our coffee this morning actually came from a
cow. You
pour
milk in your coffee?
Oh, yeah, I use milk in my coffee. I don't use that foo-foo stuff that you use. I don't use flavor foo-foo stuff, Pat.
I use powder, man. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, right.
I did. I'm serious. I quit.
Powdered foo-foo.
Oh, you quit the foo-foo? He quit the foo-foo. Yeah. He's getting tough. He's getting tough in case we have any farmers listening to us.
That's right.
Well, I support the farmers and I drink milk. I just want the farmers to know that. But it's our appreciation for hard work. And I'll tell you, maybe we all need to go to a dude ranch or something for a week. No, we work hard. But a lot of young, we do a lot of young people well to go out there and see at physical labor and get out there and get involved and say, listen, it just doesn't happen. You know, it just doesn't happen. That's what I'm afraid. I'm concerned, you know, for our young people and just trying to get them involved to not to do the quick way out. You know what I mean? Get in there and get involved. Turn that wrench and put that power. Pat can use the power drill, but you can't. You go ahead and do that.
Yeah, go ahead and put that down. You don't know what before you hurt yourself.
Well, I tell you, you really appreciate a power drill once you've had to do that thing with your hand.
Oh,
you
know? I know that's right.
Well, our grandfather had a handheld drill that you had to crank.
Remember? Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got a lot of my grandfather's old tools, and it's the craziest looking thing you've ever seen. Instead of electric drill, I mean, this thing had like a crank handle like this.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. And it would drill. I don't know how it worked, but I didn't try it. I was like, that looked like too much work.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
amazing?
How they did it, yeah.
And then amazing, before they had nail guns and they're banging in nails.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you think about the guys at that roof.
Yeah.
You know, now they're slapping those nail guns, but someone comes in there and roof your roof.
Mm-hmm.
That's some serious stuff. And so what made this country great, people that weren't afraid to get out there and work and build and construct and put a hard day's work for a hard day's pay. We need to get back to those days.
That's right.
We really need to get back to those days and help our young people to see that there's value in that you don't have to run off and necessarily get a college degree, but you can be an apprentice, you can learn, you can get your hands dirty in there and build stuff and learn from wisdom from others that have gone before you.
That's how I learned. That's exactly what I learned. I don't need to go to school to learn what I learned. It was all by just, you know, thrown into it, you know, watching other people do it and asking questions and imitating what they did.
And look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. Then after that, you actually became we call it master fabricator. My goodness.
Well, I don't know about that, but it sounds good on your resume.
I've seen your work. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as we come to the end of the first hour, we do want to share with you, speaking of farmers and, you know,
the Word of God tells us in John 12:24, says this is what the Word says. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And Jesus says, verse 25, that the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Mm-hmm. And you got to look at that and say, wait a second, what is happening here? What is the scripture telling us here in John chapter 12, verse 24, says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, right, and dies, it remains only a single seed. And then in verse 25, it says, the man who loves his life, well, it remains a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. In verse 25, it says, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Mm-hmm. And there's something about a seed, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Something about a seed. You know, I think about how when, you know, many believers want to do something for God. You know, I know when I got saved and the Lord saved me, I mean, oh my goodness. I was like, Lord, I'll do anything for you. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll do anything for you. I was right. So pumped, man. My life had been so redeemed. He saved me, forgave me for all the stuff that I had done. You know? I'm like, I love you, Jesus. I love you. And I will do anything mm-hmm. for you. Oh, and yeah. And I just, you know, you have that feeling you just want to be used. And and it's like, you know, you have such a sense of gratitude. And it's like, Lord, you point me in the direction. Send me. You know, I'll go where they don't want to go. Send me. But I'm indebted for you forever.
That's right.
But, you know, from the time that then the Lord will send you. He will send you. And mm-hmm. He will use you.
All right. There's a process before you get to that, though. There's a process. Can't leave that part out.
I didn't know that. He will use you and he will launch you.
Think about it. It's like, hey, I want a garden, man. I want some vegetables, man. I want tomatoes, cucumbers. Yep. I want some collard greens.
Yep.
I'm going to plant me a garden.
Mm-hmm.
But think about that, David. Exactly. There's a process to plant a garden. Let me tell you, I've done it.
A lot of the process.
There's a process. Well, so see, yeah, we can use you. I can use you.
Mm-hmm.
The first Corinthians 15 says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And when you sow a seed, you do not plant the body that will be, but just the seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. And it's like, you know, it's just a seed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a seed. And there's different kinds of seeds for different types of harvest. You mean you want apple trees, you can have apple seeds. And, you know, orange seeds produce orange trees. And, you know, pear seeds produce pear trees. And the list goes on and on. But mm-hmm. but the seed itself is not the tree. It's just the seed. It's just a seed, and our life is just a seed. Yeah. You know, the nature of a seed, and I had to look this up, and thanks to Wikipedia there, but I looked this up, says the inside of a seed contains an immature, undeveloped plant. That's what's inside of a seed. It's immature and undeveloped, but there's something in there.
Right.
There's something in there, but whatever's on the inside will never come to fruition. It'll never become what it's meant to be. Unless it's actually buried and put in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it must die to being one single seed alone. See, that's the die to being one single seed alone with the potential that it must give up its present state so that out of one seed, many seeds can come forth.
All right.
It's got to die to what it presently is so that more can come out of it. And that's what kind of what the Lord says. He'll use us. He'll take us, right? And he will use our lives, but we have to die. Not all deaths is a bad death. You know, there's some good things that need to die off. You know what I'm saying? There's some good deaths here. You know, some situations just have to die and go away.
Quickly.
And if we sow our life, you know, we sow our life for God and for the kingdom, so much can come out of our life. So we're going to pass through this life just one time. We have one chance. And what are we burying? We're burying our soulish ways, the things of our flesh, our wants, what we think, our desires. And we're just saying, you know what, God, I'm going to sow my life. I'm going to go through the process Pat was talking about. I'm going to bury my life in you. I'm going to sow this old life so that you can use me, and that out of my life, more seeds, more life can come out of that. When you think about all the missionaries that are scattered across this country, we have American missionaries. Mm-hmm. We have missionaries scattered across the world. They planted their life. They gave their life, right? So that something wonderful can come out of it, so that the kingdom of God can advance, and so that people can know the Lord. I want to encourage you today. Listen, you know, God's done amazing work in your life. He's changed you. He's redeemed you. He's brought you, you know, from sin, hell, and the grave. And you have this awesome gratitude welling up in your heart that you want to do something for the Lord. I want to encourage you, sow your life. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bear any fruit. There's so much more on the inside of you that God wants to do. There's so much more inside of you. There are nations inside of you. But you got to be willing to die to yourself so that God can use you in what he's doing on the face of this earth. Let me tell you, it's so much better. Get ready to leave all that other stuff that needs to go so that God can bring forth a huge harvest in your life and for his kingdom.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.